Welcome to Cold Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. I am Danny Ryan. Joined with me is Carl East.
Hey, Danny.
And Tony Scott of the Youth Hockey Hub.
I'm here.
Carl, I should have said, of the forum, but I think Carl East kind of denotes that probably.
Everyone knows where I am.
That's right. You're famous, Carl. You are famous.
Well, we just had the last week of the regular season. It's weird that it's upon us. It feels like we were just eating turkey on Thanksgiving. Really?
Yes, it does.
It's gone quick. Yeah.
So I think maybe one of the next shows, we're going to have to do like a recap of all the things that we've said that have not come true.
Yeah, and all the stupid things that we've
that
said, too.
Painful. Yeah,
that would be great.
Zach's skate school is John Casey.
Yeah, oh, we've had lots of them.
Right, his third screen goalie.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Eden Prairie went undefeated this year.
Oh, did they ever.
Yep.
They did really well.
I don't think that a week where they went undefeated.
Not at the end here.
No.
Well, a couple of news and notes. First off, I do want to give a shout out to Doug over at Fall the Puck. I know that you said that you're kind of hanging up for the time being, but I know that we all here enjoy your website and enjoy your Twitter feed. So thanks for the followers that you have graced me with and everything
yeah,
that you do.
He's back on a limited basis, but he
can't.
It's like crack cocaine for him. He can't stay away. He can't stay away. It's just too hard.
Yeah, we love you, Doug, even when we criticize your picks on Twitter.
That's right.
But that's fine. Anybody else have any news and notes beginning this week out?
Well, other than my big Player of the Year article that came out, we're going to start with that.
Let's start with the Player of the Year. Now, you didn't hold back the Heisman, you know, type of thing, or it only had to be seniors.
I wrote that in the article. It's just like, I'm so sick and tired of that you just have to be seniors. It has to be all these certain rules around awards. If a kid's good, he should be the Player of the Year. If he dominates, if he's a sophomore, give him the award. If he's the best player, just have a player. It says Player of the Year, not Senior Player of the Year. And it's the whole goalie thing. I really wanted to have a goaltender, and I thought Nick Altos was kind of tipping my hat to what a great four-year career he's had.
True.
At Apollo, and what a just a you know great. It's kind of a tip my hat to that whole program and everything. Is he's their rock, and you saw him. He was outstanding.
Yeah,
that
he
night
was very
against
good.
Hibbing, and I've seen him. We saw him against Cathedral, and seen
and
him
we'll
play
bracket the state tournament last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll see him again. Here's the thing that's
let's hope we see him again. I don't want to. I hate the jinx, my boys, St. Cloud. Anything can happen in those sections. So
okay, who are the five that you chose?
So it was Nick Altos, Casey Mittelstadt, Riley Tufte, Cade Gleickel, and one more.
His name's
Scott Perunovich.
Oh, Perunovich from Hibbing.
Yes.
Yeah, and we had a chance this week to go all over the state and meet these kids and do 60-second interviews. It was a lot of fun. And then we had, I'm going to do a sample question and answer with you guys. I'm going to do each one of you. Carl, we're going to ask you to leave the room. And I'll interview Danny. We'll have some fun with that.
Okay.
But before we do that, I'd love to just have a little chatter about the honorable mentions. I had 10 other honorable mentions, and I'd open it up to criticism. You know, those five are fun, but if you got to pick your five, would this be your five? I mean, it's the first question.
I think I would have put Connor Mayer instead of Gleickel on this.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Because
he's still mine.
he fits the bill for better player. He is definitely physically a stronger player than Cade, but I just thought Cade Gleickel's been just so under.
I think it's one of the two in that scenario.
That's a good one, Danny. I agree. That's a good choice.
Just because his level of play this year has
especially
just
Thursday night, my goodness.
He was running that game.
Yeah. He just stepped up for the Red Knights, and if he wouldn't have, they would not be undefeated.
Nope.
So that's who I had.
You're right. I like that choice.
Carl?
Yeah, I mean, other than Mayer, I think the only other choice on the honorable mention list who I might consider putting in the top five is Poehling.
Yep, I would have thought the same thing. Oh, I was close. Yeah. I was close. I was very close to having him in there after what I've seen the last few weeks.
Well, and I talked to some high school kids at St. Thomas this week, and I asked them, like, who's the best team that you've seen so far? And they said Lakeville North.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because of Riley Poehling, the way he's playing right now. And he's 6'2". He wasn't 6'2" last year, I don't think.
No, he's a man-child.
And so he's definitely playing really well. And we haven't given him enough love. We'll give him some love on today's show when they beat my cadets. But I think that's one that I would kind of sneak in there too. But I mean, Tony, you didn't give any love to the cadets, I guess, in the honorable mention though.
No, you know, there's a couple. You know, there's definitely a couple. Smallage and Jerry are good players, but they just weren't. You know, the three times I saw them this year, they weren't just like, wow. They couldn't. These kids are take over the game type of kids. You know.
Did you put any games. Grand Rapids guys?
That's what I was going to.
No.
Yeah. No Matson.
No. Yeah. And I saw them play several times this year, and not anyone who just jumps out at you. You know, just because you're going to go to University of North Dakota doesn't mean you're automatically on this list.
Mm-hmm. No East people either, Carl.
No, well, that's, we're not talking about East right now.
Maybe after.
I tried really hard, really hard. I wanted kids that were really valuable to their teams, and I thought Ethan Johnson was really valuable to. Yeah. The number one seed in 8A, so I put them on, put him on there. Yep. So value to your team is a really big part. Nick Altas was really valuable to his team.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
he's got a 147, a 930.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's hard to say that's not valuable. I mean, up and down this list, I looked at I hadn't looked at Perunovic's numbers recently, but he's got 13 goals, 55 assists. That's crazy.
Yeah.
He's a defenseman.
I got a comment on Twitter from that Louis St. George from Duluth. Yep. He's like, interesting. I don't know what word interesting is. It's a wild card word. Yeah. He goes, interesting take on Scott Perunovic. And he puts his little scoring Scott at symbol on there. And I don't know whether that's good or bad, but I call him an opposite player because he's the opposite of everything you're looking for from a scout's perspective. Is he big? Yeah. No.
No.
Is he fast? No.
No.
And he's a really good puck handler. That's about it. But there's a million good puck handlers out there. But Scott he will score.
Yeah.
If he absolutely has to score, he will. But he would rather set someone up on a pretty pass than score a goal. It's super obvious in his game. He's fun to watch.
He's fast because he can make players miss, sort of fast. He's fast because he's shifty.
Yeah.
He's elusive. Yeah. He's an Aaron Ness.
Yeah, I think I wrote it in the article. He seems faster than he is because he can control the puck so well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you can't get it away from him, he looks fast, but he's really not going to.
Oh, I can skate like the wind, but I got elephantitis of the hand.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Okay,
right.
Well, let's do a speed round.
I'll go. Danny, you go first. Carl, okay, kind of like Family Feud. I'm going to have to leave the studio.
Here, I'm walking out of the room. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, Danny, you ready? 15 questions. This is the question.
25 seconds on the
board. Yeah, it's 60 seconds on the clock, please. I wish we had a little ding. All right, and we're going to ask you 15 questions. 60 seconds. These are the same questions we asked the Player of the Year kids this week. First question. Favorite food?
Wild rice.
Favorite sport other than hockey?
Baseball.
Favorite musician or musical group?
The Beatles.
Favorite NHL player?
Sidney Crosby.
Least favorite NHL player?
Ovechkin.
If you had one superpower, what would it be? You have 60 seconds. To fly.
Fly.
Favorite subject in school?
History.
Favorite movie?
Shawshank Redemption.
Who's going to win the Stanley Cup?
Blackhawks.
If one person deserved to punch you in the face, who would it be?
Connor Ryan, my brother.
All right. If you could go anywhere in a time machine, where would you go?
I would go to 1968 California hotel when Bobby got shot.
Oh, wow. House is on fire. You can grab three things. What would you grab?
I would grab Kappa, my dog, probably some sort of trophy and my checkbook.
All right. Besides you, who's the best player in the state?
Besides me, I would say Riley Tufte.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how did you do in this interview?
I'd say a 6.
And why do you cover hockey? For the boys or for the girls?
For the girls.
Oh, all right. I mean, that's working out really well for you, too. All right. Carl is now back in the studio. Carl, are you ready for the 15 questions in 60 seconds?
All right, make Danny leave first.
Okay. Yeah, he's got a lead.
How many number one answers did I get?
Are you guys, not many. Not many. All right, here we go. Danny, favorite food?
Carl.
I'm sorry, Carl. Okay, favorite food?
Get my name right. Okay, tamales.
Favorite sport other than hockey?
Baseball.
Favorite musician or music group?
Taylor Swift.
Wow. favorite NHL player?
Patrick Kane.
Least favorite NHL player?
Also Patrick Kane.
Wow. If you had one superpower, what would it be? This one stumped your partner, by the way.
Flying.
Favorite subject in school?
Geography.
Favorite movie?
Itu Mama Timbian.
Wow, whatever that means.
Yep.
Who's going to win the Stanley Cup?
Blackhawks.
If someone deserved a punch in the face, who would it be?
Probably Danny.
If you could go anywhere in a time machine, where would you go?
If... Ooh, that's tough. 44 BC. I'm going to see Caesar get assassinated.
Wow, that is deep. Yep. Okay, house is on fire. You can grab three things. What would it be?
Laptop, my all of my clothes, right, as much as I can handle, and that's tough. The TV.
TV. All right. Besides you, Carl, who's the best player in the state?
Besides me, Riley Tufte.
Riley Tufte. On a scale of 1 to 10, how'd you do in this interview?
5.
And why do you cover hockey? For the boys or for the girls?
For the girls. You know, they just love us on the forum.
Yeah, they do. There's so many girls on there.
Yeah.
All right, good job, guys. That was fun.
That was fun.
All right, what are we going to talk about? This week's games?
Yeah, let's talk about this week's games. Probably not how Carl and I both want to visit a Sash of the Nations, I guess.
East and the Cadets really didn't do so well this week, did they?
No. Let's start off with the Cadets. Yep. Ugh. They lose 4-1 on Tuesday to Lakeville North. We're outshot 41-22. Really, what stood out to me in this game is puck control. Puck control, puck control, puck control. Dominated by Lakeville North.
That's Lakeville North's signature. Mm-hmm. They're a lot like Benilde.
Yeah, they were very good from the second period on. They just took control of the game. The only thing, like I keep saying with North, Tony, is their goaltending. The goal that St. Thomas scored by Peyton Matsui was a goal that he just beat the Lakeville North goaltender, Buzz Eigner.
Eigner. So what's going to happen is you're just waiting to do the I told you so. I'll be sitting at XL Energy Center, quarterfinals, semifinals. The Buzz is going to let in a soft goal, and you're going to look over and go, see, I told you so.
I'm
right?
just going to walk over at the end of
the shoulder.
I'm going to give you one of the roster sheets that they're going to give us, and I'm going to point to it.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm a big North guy now. The last few weeks, I've really come around on those guys. You can't score on them team if you don't have the puck.
Well, Prior Lake only scored 6 on them on Saturday.
Oh, tell me about it.
Come on. Yeah. So it is possible to get onto this team.
I know.
But if they're playing on their game, like they did in the second and third period, I mean, they outshot St. Thomas 29-12. So in those two periods, that's when they're good. And I think playing that way, they can easily come out of their section. But Saturday, different story.
Yeah.
Class A game I want to talk about briefly. Breck, Matamidi, they tied at 4. Shots were 30-21 Matamidi, the Zephyrs. I think this is an important game for both of these schools. I think it's a better tie for Matamidi. What do you guys think?
Both these teams are semifinalists. It's a preview of the semifinals of the state tournament. I don't see either of these teams getting beat in the sections. I don't see either of these teams losing in the first round to, New Ulm or Northfield or, one of those teams is not going to beat one of these teams. So let's just get right to it. Let's just
say
their spot, and they tied. I mean, this is going to be a great semifinal game if they're matched up. And I think either of these teams will give Apollo and Hermantown all they can handle. I think those are the four teams.
Mm-hmm. And before this game, I think all of us would have had Apollo at number 3. Now, it's Matamidi tying Breck, move them up to 3?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, they have a much tougher schedule, more quality wins, also a couple of questionable losses. But
yeah, I love Matamidi. I mean, I saw him play against SPA and was like, wow, that's they were in a different class. But you guys picked SPA. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Hopefully you're going to change your picks this week. We'll see.
They did beat South St. Paul 7-0, right?
Who?
SPA.
Yeah, well, SPA. No, they beat Holy Angels 6-2. But maybe they did beat South St. Paul. I have no idea.
News and notes about Holy Angels is they're the 8th seed in their section, which we'll talk about. I don't think they've ever been that low.
No,
they're one of the 10 worst teams in AA.
Yeah, which it's Holy Angels that we're talking about there. Yeah. That's a pretty proud program.
Mm-hmm. They had a brief brush with greatness for about 5-6 years.
Yeah, back a decade ago. Talking about a couple schools that were good a decade ago, a game that happened on Wednesday, Hill Murray and Elk River. Elk River sneaks out on this one 5-3 with an empty net goal, outshot Hill 38-33.
Where was that game?
That was at Elk.
Okay.
What I see, if Hill's letting 38 shots against an Elk team, they're going to have trouble versus Stillwater.
Yeah, they had trouble with them 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and there's no reason to think that's changed. Yeah.
No, and I would have to believe that Staum is back in most respects, even though he wasn't on the box score in this one, but you would assume that...
He's a Mr. Hockey finalist. Mm-hmm. He should have been.
Right? Well, and he wasn't a player of the year finalist.
He was not, or an honorable mention. Sorry,
or
Casey.
Or even one we mentioned as a snub.
I think he's an excellent hockey player. He need to play more than six games to qualify.
I agree. Now, Carl.
Something else to mention here. Elk River is full strength. They're finally healthy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jax Murray.
That's going to be those semifinal games are going to be just wicked.
Murray Zerbin and Perbix on the line together.
Very nice.
Murray's playing now?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
They're all back.
Oh, no.
Yep.
That's going to be an interesting seven.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, moving past that. Wyzetta Benilde. Carl, you and I were at this.
I watched it.
You watched it.
It was good. What a great broadcast. The PA,
really
the guy who does the broadcast on that Channel 12
yeah, they do
is
really
unbelievable.
Yeah.
They got like three cameras. It's HD. I was like, I'm glad I didn't drive out there to watch that game on that full sheet of ice. That's a bad rink to watch a game
It's a
in.
Bad rink, especially when it's filled up because sight lines get taken really easily.
And we were on the railing and we had these guys standing up in front of us every 5 seconds.
It's a packed house, you guys. You don't need to stand up. We can't see behind the student section either, but now when you stand up, what do you think I see?
I had a beautiful HD view. I covered a lot of games that night, though. There were a lot. Last few nights where I've been, doing the multi-game stuff, it's hard to watch that game. That night we had SPA, we had Tonka, Edina, right?
Yeah.
And then we had White Bear and Stillwater.
And Hermantown.
And Hermantown.
And Hibbing.
Yeah, there was a lot of hockey that night. I was glad I stayed home to kind of keep an eye on all of it. But watching that game was good.
Well, let's talk about this game. I think the most important thing about this game is two players were out. One got knocked out, and one was out because of other reasons.
Right. Let's talk about it. Oh, it's that. We should literally have a jingle, the Hank Sorensen jingle, because we literally talk about him every week.
And here we go.
It's once a week. It's the weekly Hank Sorensen. Go ahead. Tell us where he was.
Well, he got suspended for saying choice things, it looks like.
I was told it was a lifetime achievement award. Yeah.
Which I think is a true statement. Now, he's only suspended for that game, right?
Right. Yeah.
So he'll be back for sections. Just waiting to chirp on some teams. But Wyzetta came out strong, it felt like, in the first period without him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then being without him in the second and the third really took its toll.
Yeah, but they didn't have Gleickel either. So
you could really see that in the first period, that when you took Gleickel off that top line for Benilde, they were all out of sorts.
Yeah, they took Peter Heimbold and moved him back to forward, which is awesome. What a great problem to have. Like, oh, okay, Heimold, go up and play forward now.
Heimold can actually play both ways, I think.
He's played forward almost his whole career.
Yeah, and so it's not really that big of a shock, and he's a big body, too.
No, but it's the adjusting of the lines. You got to take a McLeod or something and move him up and play D. Now you got to move kids around. Kids aren't used to playing with each other.
Gallagher or something moved back, maybe. I forget.
I didn't track the lines. It's too hard. I had that and five other games I was trying to watch. It was just all I cared about was who scored and what's the score, when's it getting over.
Well, this was a 4-2 win for Benilde, an empty netter by Augie Moore, who also scored the game-winning goal in this one. Who was a snub on your player of the year?
No, he's close. He was close. He's not a snub. He's close. And much regarded on our website. It's not like a...
Big fan of Augie. He's had a good season. He's a 2020 guy, I want to say, or at least points-wise that he's a 2020. He'll be by the end of the season easily. But I look at Benilde really in the second and the third period. First period, they didn't look like Benilde. Second and third period, they looked like Benilde. And this is a team that's undefeated for a reason. I think now, you have to kind of – they're our pick. Or at least my pick right now coming out of the section.
Oh, not a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, you picked Edina. No, he picked Edina.
Right. He picked Edina.
You remember his green shirt?
I'm wearing blue today.
Yeah. Maybe you're going to go, why is that?
Maybe. But I think the rematch, if it does happen, when Sorensen is back, and it sounds like Klecal might not be back.
Might be.
I think. Tony.
Turn your phone off, Tony.
So I think that that's going to make a difference, is having Sorensen back. So we'll see.
Yeah. That could
be a great game if that happens in 2 weeks here. Yeah.
Yes. It will be.
At Mariucci, too. Mm-hmm. So
that's the only downside. It's at Mariucci. The place just 5 years ago, it was the hardest ticket in town to get into that building. Now it's like a morgue. What happened?
It's a mausoleum.
Maybe a lack of Edina will help. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because it was like there was no reason to go because they knew Edina was going to win, right?
Just smash Burnsville, too. Yeah. Last year. It was just embarrassing.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's talk about another section final preview that happened on Thursday.
Harmontown.
The Hawks were flying high as they just demolished the Blue Jackets of Hibbing, 7-0. I mean, this one wasn't even close from the get-go.
No, I scored right out of the gate.
I think the section final game is going to be a little bit closer than this. This is the worst. What's the Hibbing's goaltender's name?
Ryan
Eulen. Yep. This has got to be his worst game so far. Without a doubt. And although Hermantown's a good team, Hibbing's actually a decent defensive team, so I don't see this happening again.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So not really much else to talk about this game. Hermantown dominated.
Moving on.
Okay, going to Saturday, Eden Prairie Edina, which I was at Braemar, where they were selling the high school jerseys before the game, got me a Tyler Nanny and a Dylan Malmquist.
Nice.
Or not a Tyler, Louie. I got 11.
Oh, 11.
Yeah, 11. So I don't know why schools don't sell their jerseys more. They should.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great way to fundraise.
Mm-hmm. And Danny will buy all of them. So.
I will.
Yeah.
In my apartment decoration right now, it looks like the XL Energy Center.
Not being from Edina, I think that'd be the last jersey I'd ever buy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's one of those that you have to have for the collection.
Other than maybe a St. Thomas jersey.
Oh, yeah. God. don't pull that.
No. I would only wear one jersey. It's purple and white.
With a giant Indian on
it. Oh, man. It's still the best. I mean, still people, that's the greatest uniform.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Classic.
I mean, the Cloquets is up there, and same with Warroads right now.
Yeah, I like Warroads.
And East, we'll give a nod to East. They do have
the Rangers
look to it.
Yeah, it's kind of a classic.
But, I mean, there's some bad ones, like Stillwater this year.
Oh, Stillwater's awful. The gray and red.
it's terrible.
Yeah. Oh,
no.
Anyways, moving on to the actual game. This was a 4-3 overtime win for Edina.
Bram Shear got the winner, right?
Yep, Bram Shear, who also got a 5-minute that made this one closer. So I think looking at this, Edina showed resilience, but it raised more red flags about Eden Prairie going in the section than it did anything else.
Yeah, if Eden Prairie can't dust off Edina, they're not gonna get through that tough section.
Even though Edina has their number. You can't,
totally do.
You can't do that.
Eden Prairie had no trouble beating them back in December, so I mean, they got that one.
Yeah, they did that game. I thought Edina gave them fits.
Yeah, I thought
it was interesting.
It was close to the third.
Yeah.
Scenario. I was at that game.
Yeah, I watched it. Pete Wags did that game.
Yeah.
I watched it.
Yeah, so I think looking at this game, if there wasn't a 5-minute, the shots wouldn't have been totally lopsided, 42-20, but it was still an open shooting gallery for Eden Prairie most of the game.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I got a lot of questions going on with Eden Prairie right now, and I think they clearly lost their number one seed going into sections just by the way they've come down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No arguing there.
The other thing with Edina in this one is Clayton Phillips is back on D. That experiment's over.
Yeah, so. I tweeted that out. Yeah. So that experiment's over.
Outstanding tweet, by the way. That's your best. That's good work. I mean, that's what you got to do. Like, okay, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And he was playing with
kind of like my little tweet. I got the screenshot of Cade Gleekel's ice pack.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. That was a really good one.
Like screenshotting my computer. What a dork! But it was good. That's good TV. I mean, it's like, look, Cade Gleekel's out, and look, there's an ice pack on his shoulder. That's news. Our geeky perspective.
No, that was a good one. And Brinkman was playing with Phillips at some points of the game, too. And that was on the power play as well.
The dream team right there.
That could be special next year if they both stay.
Mm-hmm. They'll stay.
Okay, let's talk about a game that Carl was at with Duluth East Minnetonka.
No, let's not talk about this game. Let's just move on.
Okay, no, moving
no,
on.
No, no. we can talk about it.
Now,
I guess.
6-1, Minnetonka. Carl, was it that close?
You know, the first period was actually fairly even. Tonka just capitalized on a power play, got their chances, but then East took two overlapping major penalties at the... Well, the first one was with 2 seconds left in the first and then into the second, and after that, the wheels just fell off for East.
Yeah, you can't put... Tonka,
you're not going to blame the refs?
No, no.
You're not blaming
I'm
refs
not going to blame
okay,
the refs.
Because the refs could have maybe had an influence on that and all those major penalties that could have caused something.
No, East was making some very un-East-like decisions all night long, and...
Where's the tell me because you know I haven't seen them play live since Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. What were they doing? I mean, what was Mike's strategy? Is he still trying to trap? Are they playing wide open? Seemed like they kind of had a little of both up the hockey day last Saturday.
Yeah, it was a little of both again. It's worth noting that Mike Randolph was not at this game. He was in Omaha.
Really? Yep.
So,
well, that's
may or may
a
not have
huge
had
factor.
Effect, but
well, who? How many coaches were on the bench? Because it's
two. They have Dylan Mills and Brendan Brooks.
Because Brooks and Mills haven't been on the bench full time the whole season. When we saw them play White Bear Lake, he wasn't.
I think Mills has missed a game or two here.
Yeah.
There, but
so
either way, I mean, it's you know, East is they're rolling four lines, which was also a surprise.
That
is starting
a surprise.
The third line. So yeah, just getting a lot of players time trying to. They figure out the third line.
Swan
right now,
song. Yeah. That's what I call that, Tony. Mm-hmm. Swan song. Just
yeah.
Just like, well, it doesn't matter, apparently.
Apparently it doesn't matter.
So, yeah.
Who cares?
Well, they have to wake up, and they have to wake up soon because they've been in a slumber since the Apple Valley game early in the season. I mean, it's just been... just question marks.
They had a 7-8 gamer.
They're on a run right until... Last week when they went to overtime with Hopkins.
And the way they played Lakeville South.
Yeah,
so.
I'm saying. The Hopkins game was sort of the start of this. Well,
are they really that good?
Well,
or was the competition that bad? Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think that was the case. I mean,
I think you're right, Danny. I think it was the competition wasn't very good.
Okay, we
they're beating up on decent teams, though.
We saw them play White Bear Lake. Mm-hmm. I'm not hyping White Bear Lake. They're a 5 seed, okay? That's a bad
they
thing.
Were.
Yeah, so... Okay, I'm going to move on, stop talking about East, talk about a game that was actually a lot of fun to be at, the Holy Family Stillwater game at Stillwater. This game was sold out. It was two rows deep standing up, standing crowd. So I thought this game was a lot of fun. Talk about five-minute majors. Holy Family got 2 5-minute majors that were clear 5-minute majors, too. Both were boarding, and both were just clear examples of what not to do and what not to check somebody into the boards. As player that stood out to me in this game, Jesse Bukestad. We're going to talk about him a lot next year if he sticks around. This kid's good.
Yeah, he's staying. Those kids are staying. They want to win a state championship.
And I think they're playing like they are going to go deep in the state. I think I see them as a semifinal team right now.
No doubt about it.
They just need to – they need a couple – like a – big wins in sections to give them confidence going into the state because the last time they went to state, they were blown out by that Edina team.
Yeah, well, no one was going to beat that Edina team.
And this is a totally different Stillwater, too.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, this is – yeah, totally different. This is a class. This is a semifinalist type team. And then, you know, you get to the semifinals, pretty much anything can happen on Friday night. So
Well, look at what happened last year.
Right.
Some Duluth East team that was 500 –
I know. Middling, right? Is that one of your words, Carl?
Middling, yeah.
Middling Duluth East team.
Yeah, that's a professor type of word.
I know. Come on in, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Sit down. I'm going to talk to you some middling terms. Yes. Tap your pencil on the desk a few times.
Silence.
Yeah.
The Duluth East hockey history lecture.
Yeah.
Okay, moving past Duluth East. I thought we did that already. I think that... Also, looking at Holy Family, is Jared Moe one of the best goaltenders in the state? Easily.
He
plays a very traditional sense of goaltending and really covers angles very well. I liked him a lot.
He's solid
all the way around. This is a very good goaltender.
And you know, he makes his standard saves.
Yeah.
But he'll also make some just outstanding, where did that come from, saves, too.
Yes. he made one of those that he was sprawling and like blocked the play, and it was just like, what just happened? But he shuts down really good and like doesn't give angles, especially when somebody's trying to wrap around. He does like that pad sack. That's really nice. It's very pretty to watch.
Yeah, he's good.
He's good.
And then those left-handed goalies are always way more fun to watch. Kind of like left-handed basketball players and pitchers. They just look different.
Yeah, it's just southpaws.
Yep.
Okay, so that kind of rounds out our games of the week. Now let's start talking about sections.
Let's speed round. Before we get into it, we're going to speed on this. We're going to go back in time.
Yeah, first, we're going to have a lecture from Professor Carl on.
Yeah, that's right. Let's bring it down, Carl. Okay,
so Danny and I got to talking about one of the old features of the section tournament and feeding into the state tournament of the past, which was the old back door.
50s and 60s, mind. This is before I was born.
So, when did this go up to?
Well, first of all, we should say it started in 1949, so the first tournament, a couple tournaments didn't have it. But I guess they got so bored of seeing Granite Falls and Staples lose by 10 goals that they decided, okay, we need some more Northern and
Twin Granite Cities teams. Falls and Staples are Northern, but Northern talented teams.
That's not the North, that's West.
Come on. Yeah.
Outstate, let's put it that way.
I'm sorry, the proper term is Greater Minnesota.
Wow, here we go.
Urban planning, let's move on.
So in 1949, they made two back doors. One was for the Northern team, so Section 7 and Section 8 just alternated. So every other year, the second place team in 7 or 8 would go to state.
I love it.
Yeah, and then that was Section 3. And Section 1 was, they had a tournament between the winners between the second-place teams in the two Twin Cities sections, the St. Paul section and the Minneapolis section.
It's kind of their playoff. I love it.
And then that went on for a little while. And then eventually they expanded the Twin Cities one to include the two suburban sections, too. So it was a four-team playoff for one spot.
Right.
Yeah. So dumb.
I love it. And I can just toss this in here. I was talking to an old guy from up north about hockey and state tournament. Goes, yeah, we purposely would lose so that we can go play in this other one, so we guarantee us, so we wouldn't have to play this other team, until we wouldn't have to play Warwood until the finals.
Yeah, and in 1965, they started having a playoff game between the 7 and 8 teams instead of rotating. And,
which is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, oh, we're in 7 this year. It doesn't matter.
Nope. Yeah, we're going. Yeah.
And then it actually produced three state championships out of the back door. Duluth East, 1960. International Falls, first championship.
Was a backdoor. They were a backdoor team.
Yeah, no, they lost to Duluth East in the section final, then came back, played them again in the first round at state, and beat them.
Yeah.
And then
that's crazy.
And then won a Greenway's championships too. Was a backdoor
late in the late 60s.
Yeah, I think the 68 one.
Yeah.
See, like that. Nobody really talks about that. People talk about like different like ways to make the tournament, but we think about the only traditional way. But this is
no internet back then. Let me tell you.
So
wouldn't have anything to do with that.
So just wrap it up. By 1968, they eliminated the metro backdoor,
which is good,
and some created a new section in the suburbs. Then in 1975, where they added the private schools, the northern backdoor went away.
Oh, well, I think that's a kind of a fun backdrop for how section rankings don't matter.
Yeah,
no, I know. We had a text string going last night about. You know, don't look now, but here comes Armstrong, who beat Eden Prairie a few years ago.
Eden Prairie was the defending state champion, too.
Yes, I know. I remember reading, oddly enough, on Follow the Puck, Doug had tweeted out that Armstrong would beat him. I remember having to look twice. I'm like, there's no way
Armstrong
just beat them. I was like, no possible.
I called a couple people after that one.
Yeah, like, are you sure that's true?
Because I was like, did you see this?
It can't be
Eden
true.
Prairie.
Yeah. It's like April Fools, you know?
Yeah. So, okay, let's do a speed round with who we think's going to win sections. Do we want to do that right now?
Yeah, I'll moderate this one. We'll start with the A's and then swing right back up. All right. All right. Carl, you go. You're going to go the first. Danny second, then I'll be the last. All right. So, Carl, 1A.
Northfield.
Northfield.
2A.
Brack.
Brack.
Breck.
You thought about it.
Thought about Delano, but didn't.
Yeah. No.
3A.
Laverne.
Laverne. I'm really.
Wow, that was convincing.
Super enthusiastic.
I'm going Laverne, too. All right, 4A.
St. Paul Academy.
Mott.
5A.
Princeton.
Mighty Tigers.
Princeton. 6A.
Apollo.
Fly Eagles.
Apollo. 7A.
Hermantown.
Hermantown.
Hermantown. 8A.
Thief.
I'm still picking EGF in this one.
Thief River. All right, ready for the 1AA?
Mm-hmm.
1AA, Carl.
Lakeville North.
North.
North. 2AA. Oof. Come on.
They're going to find the magic. Eden Prairie.
Eden Prairie.
Minnetonka.
There we go. Someone had to.
3AA.
Burnsville.
St. Thomas.
Jefferson.
Ah, yes.
No way. Don't, they do not deserve to be in the wall of shame.
Jefferson.
No.
Here we go. 4AA.
Stillwater.
Stillwater.
Stillwater. 5AA.
Blaine.
Tufty.
Blaine. 6AA.
Wayzata.
Benilde.
Benilde. 7AA. Here we go.
Elk River.
I'm picking Rapids mainly out of heart here.
I'm going Duluth East. I don't believe in any of these three teams.
I feel so dirty
I literally
right now.
Have no idea who's going to win this section.
I just picked Elk River.
Who picked Rapids? You did, right?
Yeah, I did.
I realistically would pick Rapids. But it's still Mike Randolph. I can't see him losing. Do I remind you? He's won 7 in a row.
I know. Okay, move on.
8AA.
Bemidji.
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 Yeah.
I agree with that one.
Okay, let's start breaking down these sections. We're only going to predict up to the semifinals and predict what we think the finals are going to be.
Yep, I think that's a great idea.
And we're going to skip a couple sections. We're going to skip 4. Do you want to skip 4? Do you
I don't want to talk about 4.
Doesn't have his semis until next week anyway.
No, because it's unnecessary. And
yeah.
It's dumb how they don't schedule it like that. And they,
right.
They think they're special. What do we want to do, Class A or Class 2A first?
Start with A.
A.
Okay. A, Section 1. Northfield's the number one seed. Who are they going to play? Either
Mankato West.
Yeah. And Rochester Lords.
Mankato West.
You think so?
Not
easily.
Even close.
Lords is not that good this year.
It's been a couple years.
Yeah. And so I think that's going to be our matchup between... In Section 1A.
Yep.
Section 2A. Breck is the number one seed.
Delano.
Yeah. You picked Delano, but that one could at least have some interesting semis. They lost to Orono.
They had a lot of money over in there. Orono got the 3 seed. I have no idea how.
Because Perry's their coach. Good old Mark Parrish.
Joke.
No, right. Well, yeah. So I think that's going to be
Delano. Yeah.
And Delano's got a good team.
Yeah.
Those are good kids. So Is the feeder program for them Crow Wing?
Yeah, Crow they River, changed their name back to
Delano.
They changed it back to Delano. Okay.
But when they were playing in Bantams, they were Crow River or something like that.
Yeah, Crow River. Yeah.
Okay.
And the reason they did that, they're trying to do the encompassing all communities in that Delano area.
Oh, well, good for them, I guess.
Yep.
3A. Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd like more information on 3A, go to Carl's forum. Yeah. It's there all day long.
You'll be reading for days, but it's all there.
It's amazing. How many people care about 3A?
Carl and I were talking about this. They're all contained in their own
quarantine them in their own little section.
I don't ever go in there.
No.
Ever.
It's not a safe place.
It's like poison.
Okay, but we have a possibility semifinal matchup between Laverne and Redwood Valley, and Redwood Valley got their number.
Those two teams don't like each other.
So that's a possibility, but I see Laverne probably coming out of that because Jackson Nelson's got 113 points, right, Carl?
Amazing.
1,314.
114. Broke the scoring record. 70 goals, 70 plus goals now. He's lighting it up, so.
4A is not any discussion because SPA is...
Who's Laverne playing in the final then, Tony? Are they playing Litchfield or Hutch?
Hutch.
Litchfield.
Litchfield. Dragons. Yeah. Dragons.
Right. Okay. Fine.
Fine. Well, I'll move on now.
All right. Now 4A is pretty easy. I don't think the SPA is going to have any trouble with Minnehaha.
No. Yeah.
Minnehaha.
I don't... Yeah.
You think... I was thinking Matamita. Like, okay. You think they're going to... I don't think so either.
That's a two-team race.
Yeah, and I think...
as we love Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Johnson-Totino matchup, either one doesn't stand a chance against Matamita right now.
Nope.
So, SPA, Matamita in that final, which should be a very good final, too.
Very good game, yeah.
Okay, moving on to 5. 5.
Chicago's, who's Chicago have to beat to get to play?
I have no idea who's in the section besides Princeton and Chicago.
Okay. They got Malp or
Mammal. No, it's Chicago will beat Mammal. Yeah. Chicago will beat Mammal. They beat them both times this
Mammal.
Year.
Mammal. And then Mammal plays Mora, which is an easy win. Sauk would probably be the matchup for Princeton in the quarters or
five
semis.
Wins.
Sauk's got 5 wins?
Yeah.
Yeah, see Princeton coming out of that side pretty easily. Playing
but Sauk does play in a tougher conference than Mammal, and they do. They play in a tougher conference.
Do they play against Sartell?
Yeah,
they
play
like
with the St.
Way
teams.
Tougher conference.
Yeah.
So that's 5's a little bit...
It's hard to judge like that, but I do think Princeton's the better team to get by them, and I do think Chicago will get by the Mooses.
They'll make it 2-500 if they get to state.
The Mooses? Wow.
We do grammar here. Yeah.
Smooth.
That is smooth. Smooth as. All
right. 6A. 6A, which has already started, which River Lakes beat Wadena.
Wadena? Come on. My dad's from Wadena.
And St. Cloud Tech beat Prairie Center 16-0.
Poor Prairie Center.
And Alex beat Breckenridge.
Wahpeton?
Wahpeton, yeah. So this one, see Apollo coming out of their side, either playing Little Falls, which would be a test. Because they were tested by Little Falls late in the season.
OT.
Yeah, so that could be a decent game. That could be on upset alert there.
I think that, I mean, I know we're not got a lot of listeners in Little Falls, but I think that's a fragile club. I mean, they've had a couple games to get away from them late in the last week. That's not the way you want to be playing going into sections.
No.
I don't see them as a threat to Apollo.
And Cathedral's doing pretty well down the stretch here, too. They beat Little Falls comfortably. They gave Holy Family a very good game.
Everything they could?
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah, that was so, close all the way to the end. So, and they have a probable matchup versus Sartell, it looks like. And Sartell's...
No, thank you. I mean, you don't want to play Sartell. I mean, they're good.
Yeah, Sartell's a solid program, too. So I think this one has the most intrigue and upset alert with it.
In the whole state, out of all these single A's.
Yeah. Single A classes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and although Apollo is the better team of all these teams, they will be tested coming out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, moving to 7. We're looking at Hermantown, the number one seed. They play the winner of Eveleth and International Falls.
Oh, that'll be a fun game.
That was good in the 40s. back when the back door was
back
hot.
Door.
What's interesting is Greenway got the 4 seed. Mm-hmm. So that could be an interesting matchup versus Hermantown, but that's just a
matter.
Slight
did
test.
Denfeld
got the 3
usurp
seed.
Them?
Yeah,
wow.
Well, they beat Greenway, so that's why.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. And if River Allender stands on his head, we could be talking about Denfeld Hermantown, but this is going to be a Hibbing Hermantown matchup.
Yeah.
Yep. Not so even not
a chance
even discussion.
Of some intrigue, but yeah, I'll be at these games in Duluth next weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Michigan Section Saturday, which is at Big and Braemar, to go up to the deck, I guess, or Ames Oil. Mm-hmm. So, I think we're going to see Hermantown Hibbing more than likely in this one. And Carl will tweet you about that to keep you updated.
And then the 8 one is going to be, who's the 2?
2 is EGF.
Yep.
Yeah, but then the 3 is going to be
War Road.
And then 4 is Detroit Lakes.
Yep. Yeah, and 5 is Crookston.
Yeah, I don't see either of those 3 testing them either. So we're back to the old 1s versus 2s.
I think this is an easy 1 versus 2. Even though War Road EGF has been a traditional, pretty close game, I don't see it this season.
This year. Yeah.
No. So that's our Class A for you. Class A is normally pretty straightforward, I would say.
Yep. Now, Double A is going to get really interesting, especially in 1. So we the Farmington-Lakeville South game, I mean, that's juicy.
That's,
I mean,
Farmington can't beat South. What do you say?
Yeah. And they should. I mean, they have clearly the better player.
I think they have a better team.
I think they have a better team and a more determined team than South, I would say, in my book.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the bracket, let's start with that. Lakeville North's not going to be tested by Dodge County at all. This isn't girls hockey. And then Rochester John Marshall is the best Rochester team, but that's not even going to be a chance for them.
You're playing in a different league here now.
They will be playing at home ice, quote unquote.
Yeah. At Graham.
Well, at Rochester Rec Center.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So obviously, teams that come to visit teams with home ice and sections never have any chance. We all know this from 7AA.
No. No.
We'll revisit that debacle.
Why are we? How do we get this? You always bring everything back to 7AA.
I don't do that with the cadets. I guess.
I know. So yeah, I don't think anything on this one is worth. I mean, it's going to be north. No. It's going to be south. Who do you guys like? I like Farmington to break
like
the spell. Can't be hard to beat a team three times.
Yeah. It was 7-0 last time. South again.
I like Farmington. I think they're the better team of the two. And you know, I hope it's that way because I think it would be a better section final game.
It would be more interesting. Yeah.
I think it would be more interesting too.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Okay, but.
But it won't happen.
So
we'll... Now for the juicy one. Let's get to it. This is good. This is what we've all been waiting for. Yeah.
Okay. Let's start at the top side of the bracket. Minnetonka plays the winner of Prior Lake Chan. Prior Lake should come out of this one.
Yeah.
They are the better team of the two. But that the Prior Lake Minnetonka game, that one's intriguing.
Oh, yeah.
Because Prior Lake's got some talented kids on their team with Clemens and Fellows
that. They got a talent, but I just don't think they're going to be able to skate with them.
Yeah, you look at the computer rankings, they have all those have them as a top 10 team, but they just have no quality wins, zero. Yeah,
no.
But against a team that doesn't have a true goal scorer, does that, you know, kind of help out Prior Lake in this one? I think this game has a lot of intrigue on it. Of the 1-4 matchups that's at Big and Braemar, I think I would prefer this one than the whatever's going to be against Benilde.
No, nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's...
It's the best 1-4 game in AA. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Shakopee's going to lose to Holy Family. I'm sorry, Shakopee. And Chaska's going to lose to Eden Prairie. And now we got a Holy Family Eden Prairie matchup for a semifinal. This is going to be a fun one.
I promise you I will be at that game.
Yeah, this one's going to be good. I think you got a team that finished strong in Holy Family versus a team that I said on Twitter, the wheels on the bus have fallen off.
Yeah. I'm glad you can say that because I definitely can't.
Because you said they would be undefeated.
Right. No, I tweeted that out, I'd get slammed.
Well,
and I don't think it's a wheels fall off. I just don't think that they've managed their wheels properly. How's that?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think they
wore the tread out.
Yeah. Yeah, and they clearly are the most talented team in this section by
the state.
Far.
In the state.
Yeah. Yeah, they have two draftable players on their team. Draftable right now.
Right now.
Yeah,
I agree.
And if the draft happened, if Middlestad could be drafted this year, he'd go first round.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And so I think in this game, I'm still going to pick Eden Prairie because I picked them to win the section. And here's why. Lee Smith's been there for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think coaching favors this on this one. And these kids got the state last year, so they know what it's like to be there.
So you're picking Eden Prairie in the finals over Eden Prairie to beat Holy Family.
Yeah. Eden Prairie to beat Holy Family because I think
it's going to be one of the best games of the year.
Oh, it's going to be really good. Great goaltending against great goal scorers, too, because Graham's one of the best shots in the state, and same with Middlestad, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be – assuming this game goes down, this will be one of the – it's the best section game.
Yeah, I guess my big question is, can Holy Family stay out of the box?
And that's what ruined them in the Stillwater game.
Because then Eden Prairie's lethal, so.
Who do you guys have?
Yeah, that's true.
Who do you guys have? Because
– you know, I'm going to – I got to go off – I got to jump off the Holy Family train because I – they've cost me in my pick'em last 2 weeks.
And we're not doing a pick'em
this week. I picked them to beat Rapids.
Because I
picked them to beat Stillwater.
Yeah.
If Holy Family could just hold up their end of the bargain, I'd be winning this pick'em.
We're not doing a pick'em this week.
No.
We'll do a, we'll
we're doing a plenty we're of
just
picking.
Letting me bask in my glory over winning regular season pick'em.
No.
We can edit that out, can't we, Mr. Producer? All right. Next section, 2-3A, 3-AA.
Yep, 3-AA. This is St. Thomas's is the number one seed in this one. The number two seed is Burnsville. Three is Rosemont. And then Tony's pick to go to state, quote unquote.
Everybody laughs. A four seed can make it to state. Yeah.
The four seed, especially.
Stillwater did it a couple years ago.
I will say a four seed in section 3AA is a solid pick.
Yeah.
This is a section where, you know, no one's really safe.
No.
No. Nobody
is. St. Thomas tied Eastview, which is the five seed.
Yeah.
I think here's the thing. I don't I would not give credit to Jefferson for going to state every time I walked to Big One. Okay? That's the problem, Tony.
What do you mean?
When you have to walk through the pitchers when you're going to Big One?
Yeah. Oh,
this
yeah.
This team does not deserve to be on that.
Oh, one. Correct. I got where you're going. Yeah, I've only walked that wall hallway 7,000 times.
It's my favorite walk in the state.
It is pretty cool. Those the banners with all the, yeah. even the Kennedy and
yeah.
ones.
Lincoln. There's a
there.
Lincoln
There's
one.
A Lincoln one up there.
And a Bloomington one. Just a generic
yeah.
Bloomington.
It's black and white.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have color film back in the day.
Yeah. So I just, it's a hunch. Just going hunch. I'm going home, yep. Homer there a little bit there.
That's fine.
But it was most, when I said it in the segment, it felt right. It felt like, hey, you know, anybody can win this section.
No,
and why not? I mean, you know, we're sitting there going through these picks. It's like, Lakeville North, you know, still on. It's like, there's some of this is so predictable. Yeah. I kind of just threw it out there as a jab. I think they could do it. They haven't lost in like 6 or 7 games. And
mostly been shutouts too.
Yeah.
I stuck them into the top 25 this week.
Yeah, they're there.
I think the thorn in their side in this section will be St. Thomas because of St. Thomas's speed. I think that will be a difference maker in that game.
Yep.
And coming on the other side, I think Burnsville can come out of it, but Rosemont's a pesky team.
I think both those games were one goal games.
Yeah. And Rosemont, they will stick with you the whole time.
Yeah, Rosemont beat him the first time, 3-1. Then
yeah, so
and Burnsville beat him.
I think last month. Really this one has one of the most upset written sections because I'm not confident in the cadets that they're going to come out of this, and they don't play teams that hit hard very well. And Burnsville and Rosemont, it took them Jake Hardy the quote unquote win at the last second in the first game of the year. So I don't have a lot of confidence in the cadets.
You know, it's funny. I also throw out there. I mean, Eastview, Jefferson. That's probably is there a better 4-5 game?
That might be
probably
a
not.
Game worth going to.
That's about
We're
the best one out there.
Yeah, I think that might be the one. Now that you say that, that might be the one that I go to because
I covered the Wyzetta Hopkins game last year. It was so good. Hopkins goalie almost beat him. It was so.
Oh
good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really
because
good.
We were at Benilde versus Holy Family last year. At least
yeah, that's why you know
you weren't there. I was.
That's
there.
Why we covered the Hopkins game because we knew everyone the hub would be at this one. I would like to go to the ones where the hub's not going to be and hopefully get a better story.
Well, I want to be at the best game, and that was a
right.
Good game
oh, it was
too.
For sure a better game. There's no doubt.
Okay, moving on to section 4.
Yeah, moving on to section 5.
Yeah, I think one thing that we said was worth noting is White Bear Lake is a five seed.
Yeah.
That's the lowest they've been in a long time.
I'm surprised when I saw it, but then I went and looked. You know, they lost to Woodbury last week. Yeah, I
mean, yeah, they're not. What are you going to do? They're not a team that deserves to be a 2 seed or a 3 seed.
I haven't really looked at this section. Did Roseville and Tartan come above them?
Yeah, Tartan's 3, Roseville's 4.
Tartan had a decent Bantam team a couple of years ago.
Yep, they were the ones that played at the state tournament over in Coon Rapids when Highland won the state tournament before they were St. Paul. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, so I think that's they're a solid team. I don't think they would beat Hill Murray. They've already played each other twice, and I don't know what their record is.
It was they were both fairly close games, but Hill won. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember it either.
One was 3-1 and one was 1-0. So
okay. I mean close games,
it's
but
not impossible, but
again, the home ice advantage goes to Hill here because all these games get played at Aldrich for some reason. Mm-hmm. So I see a Hill-Stillwater matchup in the final, and I don't think there's any controversy in this one.
No.
The only controversy would be Hill stumbling because Stillwater's not.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an interesting section, section 5. This one usually has some controversy involved with it. Blaine lost to Champlin a couple of years ago, if we remember.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
I remember seeing that one on Follow the Puck, too.
I was watching the end of that one because I remember like seeing like the tweets on that and like, oh, my God, this is close. And I was like, I got to watch this. And it was on – somebody was streaming it, and I watched it. And it was like, what the heck is going on here? And so, yeah, that was a weird one. And that was at the State Fairgrounds when that still happened. Something that's – Blaine will beat Coon Rapids easily. That's not a question.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Maple Grove, Spring Lake Park. Should be a decent game.
That'll be a good game. That's another 4-5 game that I like.
Yeah.
They just played recently, and Let me look up what happened.
Carl with the papers.
Wow, he's flipping through it.
Yeah.
Come on, who won? You should know this.
I mean, we make fun of me for holding roster sheets.
It was 5-0 final, Maple Grove.
Okay.
Well, there he goes that.
We'll be close.
Mystery.
I think Blaine, Maple Grove has intrigue. I think that could be a trap game for Blaine if they're looking ahead. If Goodman stands on his head, it could be an interesting game, but I just don't see it.
No trap game.
On the other side, Centennial's the number two seed. They're going to beat Osseo pretty easily. Champlin, Anoka. See Anoka coming out of this. But I see Centennial coming out of this side of it, too, for some reason. I'm predicting a lot of 1-2 matchups, but I kind of see that right now.
Anoka's not a bad upset pick if you want one, but Centennial beat him twice fairly comfortably.
I like Centennial.
Yeah.
What if Anoka wins and then plays Blaine?
Great.
Oh, yeah, I would love that. Yeah. I would like that a lot.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that would be fun hockey, just because Anoka's got their number. Okay, moving on to Section 6 on this one. This is another juicy one. Benilde plays Holy Angels, which you would never say would be a quarterfinal game. Hopkins plays Creighton. I think Hopkins might have the edge. I'm going to go Hopkins on this one.
Yeah, me too.
Because of late conference opponent.
Wow. Much
better battle-tested, yeah.
And now, yeah. I know some kids on Creighton. I like those kids. I like the way they play, but battle-tested, I'm going to favor the 5 instead of the 4 in this one.
Okay. Well, I'm all right. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't.
I mean, it's like,
who gets to lose to Benilde? Yep.
Yeah, who gets to lose to the Benilde on the game that I'm not going to see on Saturday.
Being led to slaughter, basically.
So that one doesn't matter. Now let's talk about the fun other side of the bracket. Edina plays St. Louis Park. Now, I don't know if Benilde was resting kids when they played St. Louis Park, but that was close to the end, like third period.
St. Louis Park has a decent goalie.
Oh, yeah. Connor Clares.
Yeah,
Connor's played on, like, tried out for national stuff, I want to say.
Yep.
Known
very
that
good
kid
goalie, and then
growing up.
Then they have a player who I saw the other night, and I walked away. I said, "That kid, this Bauer Neudecker, that's one of the most exciting players I've seen play this year."
Okay,
real good player.
Which, and we don't give enough love to St. Louis Park, but
there you go, Orioles. Yeah.
There you go, there you go. and then the Robbinsdale Armstrong possible 2-7. Matchup that if you want to be a bracket buster, maybe pick it, but I don't see this one happening.
You never know with Wyzetta, but
Wyzetta should come out of this easily. Now, for the fourth time this season, the Edina.
It seems like more than that.
It seems like too many. It was
but
the first
Wyzetta's
season.
Got them all three, right?
Yep,
all three. They brought the brooms.
Mm-hmm.
So, and right now, the way Wyzetta is playing, I see Wyzetta coming out of that. But you never know what Kurt's going to dial up, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is going to be a fun Section Saturday game.
We still don't know when those games are being played.
Because they won't announce that until the games happen. So we won't know the matchups until Friday, which is dumb. But then since Edina's a 3 seed this year, they won't play at Braemar, or they shouldn't, because that would give them a home ice advantage. And so they'll play at Big, and now when they play at Big, and then it throws things off, and hopefully the 2-3s are not going on at the same time, or else we're going to be a little upset.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think those are going to be fun. It's going to be Benilde, and it looks like Wyzetta the way that they're playing.
Do they take breaks? I can't remember this. They take breaks between these games?
Yeah.
It's not just like a normal double. No.
It's not a normal
doubleheader.
Like 2 hours apart because they like to clear the rink, so you have to pay again, which is annoying. that's how they do it. And the other annoying part is because by the time you're done with that game and drive over to Big, you can't find parking, and you're parking at the Armory.
Right.
And so that's also how it's done.
Yeah.
So should be a fun Section Saturday. We'll be living at those two rinks next weekend.
Yeah, we're going to have coverage everywhere, so I'm excited.
You want to talk about that for 2 seconds?
Yeah, we're shooting for it. We haven't secured a cameraman in every location, but we're hoping to have a videographer in each rink and record every goal scored in the Section semifinals and Section finals this next week. So you'd be able to tune into our Section page and see a video snippets of every goal in every game of those semifinals and finals. I'm really excited about it.
That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you can go on the page and go, oh, how did the Hermantown game go? Or, oh, how did this game go? And you can literally walk through 60 seconds.
And just 90 click, seconds, click, click,
click.
Oh.
And boom, there's that goal, this goal, and they'll all be marked. It'll be kind of nice.
Yeah, it'll be really nice. Okay, let's talk about a section that we have no idea what's going to happen in.
No, we laughed about it since just November. We don't know what's going to happen. We still don't know what's going to happen.
Section 7AA, Rapids gets the number one seed, which I think you said since 92.
Yes.
They haven't been number one, which is a crazy fun fact. And they this year don't have the trap game against Forest Lake.
Yeah, how'd they do that?
That's okay. This is the only section that section seating actually matters because of the trap game for Forest Lake.
For Grand Rapids against Forest Lake.
Yes.
That's right.
Only reason.
Only reason. Now, they should easily beat Cambridge, but easily isn't Rapids-y term. And so they'll play the winner of Duluth Marshall Cloquet, which should
be a good
game,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
No.
You don't think so? Why don't you think so, Tony?
Both of those teams have been less than impressive the last 3 weeks.
Well, that's why it would be an interesting game to
see. Between those two teams.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking about when they play Rapids. And that's I'm already on the semifinals. We're
okay.
Still talking quarterfinals.
Who do you think is going to come out of that one?
I'm Marshall.
Yeah. I think Marshall might, too.
I'll take Cloquet. They've won, beat him twice.
East Kid's taking Cloquet.
Shocking. I'm not taking Marshall.
Yeah. Yeah, really. The lesser of two evils, yeah. Cloquet.
Tough one.
Tough one. But, yeah, so let's go back to talk about that semi in 2 seconds. Elk plays Forest Lake. Is this a trap game?
No.
No. I think Elk is completely healthy, like you said, Carl, and I think this is going to be a good game. Andover, Duluth East. What was the score of this game in the season, Carl?
It was 6-5.
Yeah, it wasn't close. A lot closer than you thought.
No, Andover scored 2 in the last minute and a half. But
And the way East is playing right now, this is going to be another close one.
I agree.
And so let's talk about this semi first, okay? Elk, Duluth East. Who wins it?
Elk River.
East.
I think East is going to win it, which is weird that we're picking against the East guy, but I think he might be double jinxing himself.
He's totally double jinxing himself. And I also think, didn't they beat him just a couple Saturdays ago?
Yeah, yeah. But half the team was out. Come on.
Oh, for Elk Rivers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you're sandbagging.
I think that this game's at home, quote unquote. That
no,
place,
not.
Well, it's at Amthor.
It's at Heritage?
It's at Amthor.
They moved it to Heritage.
Yeah, yeah. They should.
It's a neutral site game.
Yeah. It's a neutral.
Amthor is neutral, Danny. Move up. We're moving on.
I was talking to a Rapids guy this week, and he says, we'll bring more fans to Amsoil than East Springs.
But they always do. Yeah. Why do people complain? They always do.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I want East to play Rapids because I think...
Everybody does.
Yeah. And so I'm going to say East, but I think, Carl, you're going to be in for a treat on Saturday with that one.
If you want to call it that, sure.
Yeah. And a heart attack probably afterwards.
Well, ulcers aren't, my idea of fun, but okay, yeah.
Duluth, Marshall, we're thinking, or Cloquet playing Rapids. I think this game's going to actually be close.
Well, Marshall gave him a scare. Yeah.
And so did Cloquet, I want to say,
the second
too.
Time, well, yeah. The final score looked, it was, I think, 5-1, but they hung around for a while. So
yeah.
Cloquet did.
Yeah. So I think Rapids is going to come out of this, but they're going to be close.
History says that.
History says that Saturday morning is not a fun morning in Grand Rapids.
No.
And I've listened to KLZY, and I have been upset.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that one, this section has probably one of the most intrigue as far as good teams coming out of it. The 3 is exciting, but those teams are not
threats.
I mean, this is.
They won't be 1 through 5 seeds in the state tournament.
No.
No matter what.
Okay, let's talk about Section 8. Bemidji gets the top seed. They will play the winner of St. Michael Ellerville Roseau, which has intrigue on it because Roseau a 5 seed, which is...
That's a good game.
That should be a good game.
They tied in December, and I think STMA should win, but... Yeah.
I'm going to pick Roseau for historical purposes.
Always do. They were good 11 years ago. I'm like, it doesn't matter, Danny.
The ghost of Aaron Ness.
It doesn't matter.
Zach Yon is not that far removed.
The only reason I could possibly agree with you is that this group of STMAs, and I love these people. I have a lot of friends that in the STMA program have just underachieved like no tomorrow.
Yeah, that's
this
very
is an
true.
Underachieving team. I thought this team would be a top 15 type team this year, and they haven't hit that mark at
Carl
all.
Carl prepped them as that in the beginning of the season.
I had them basically where they are now.
Yeah, okay.
2025. Yeah,
which is
they are who I thought they were.
They are.
I would have thought they were high, would have been higher. Okay, Denny Green.
But I think if STMA plays Bemidji, that should be a good matchup.
Bemidji doesn't want that. I mean, much rather have Roseau.
If there's one team that got robbed in seeding that actually really affected them, I think it's STMA.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our writers wrote about it. Threw a conspiracy theory on it, which I was so much laughed about.
Yeah, especially the Buffalo and Rogers part of it.
Yeah, did you read that?
Yeah,
it was disgusting.
Like, someone posted it on the
forum. I was embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't like to censor any of our writers.
No. No, you shouldn't have to either. Anyways, Brainerd is the number 3 seed, who doesn't have defense or goaltending, but a very good head coach at that, Dave Oz.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he can lace them up.
I think they should come out, but Moorhead's going to beat them because it's just Moorhead
like Moorhead.
Score goals. I like Moorhead, too. Yeah. I like Moorhead Bemidji, and I think that should
be
a 1-2.
Fun.
Yeah, 1-2, but I think this is an easy 1-2 to predict as well. Yeah. Okay, I'm almost out of breath because that was a lot of section talk, but I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Just think, I was talking about this before the show. A week from tonight, we'll be, except for that 4A and 2A thing. But
4AA.
For the most part, we'll have our section finals all laid out for us for the following week. It's going to be an exciting show next week to talk about all the stuff that happened.
Yeah, we weren't going to talk about Section 4, but we ended up talking about Section 4.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Those games are going to... But, yeah, I mean, we're going to not have to talk about certain teams anymore, which can be kind of exciting.
We're down to 30, what was it, 32 teams?
30.
16? Yeah, roughly.
Roughly.
For ballpark purposes, we'll have 32 teams to talk about.
Plus a couple straight ones. Yeah,
yeah, so that should be exciting. Again, follow me on Twitter at @CohsHockeyPod. Carl is at Carl East.
Hockey,
sorry. And then, Tony, you are at
Youth Hockey Hub.
Yep. Okay, well, this has been our section preview show. Thanks for listening.
Hey, guys, this is Tom Schreier, co-founder of ColdOmaha.com. Thank you for listening to the Cold Omaha Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave us a comment and a rating. Also, don't forget to check out ColdOmaha.com to see all of our podcasts and read articles about your favorite teams in the Twin Cities. If you have any suggestions or comments on anything related to Cold Omaha, email us at editors@ColdOmaha.com or follow us on Twitter @ColdOmahaMN.